Well, here we are from a new location, and let's just, with nothing being said, let's just move on. This would be a short sermon clip, or a short sermon subject. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13:10. This is probably one of the verses that makes me as unique as I am, or whatever, I guess you want to call it that. But I'm as King James can be. I'm probably more King James than most. This is a verse that is as obvious and plain to me that this has to be talking about a King James Bible. And the King James guys, they say their Bible is perfect and there and the whole thing. They don't really believe what they're saying, nor do they understand a little bit here. And one of our readers, followers, or not followers, I hate the word follower, but you're supposed to be following Paul, not Paulson. We're just listening to Paulson talk about following Paul. That's all this is. And lost a friend over this subject. And isn't it interesting how they will cut fellowship with us and the ones that actually, that we look at Thessalonians here, which is kind of a bunny trail really quickly here, just a quick like here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, that's Thessalonians, verse 6 of chapter 3, anybody brother that walketh disorderly, and et cetera, et cetera, we're not to count them as an enemy, but we are. Where does it say that? It says, come on now. Note that man and have no company with him. But they're not an enemy. And yet these folks that are, you know, King James, I guess, they will mark and note us, and we become their enemy. They won't have anything to do with us, and they withdraw from us. And it's just absolutely the opposite. Because they're breaking fellowship, or whatever they want to call it, based on wrongly dividing, not based on Paul's teachings at all, other than the fact that that's what they've heard, and they don't like that. So they cut. But the fellowship was supposed to be broken when somebody doesn't believe what Paul teaches as the commandments of God, as he says. So it's just, it's funny. We're supposed to be the ones that should break from them if it becomes an issue. Because it says up again in verse 6 here, every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. They're not walking disorderly. They just don't agree with us, but they're not being disorderly about it. But when they become that way, then we're supposed to be the one to say, well, you know, I can't agree to disagree. I have to stand on what I believe to be the truth, and Paul is teaching the truth, and if we can't, you know, get along in peace over this whole thing, then I have to break from you. But they break from us, and we're the ones that feel bad about it, and it's supposed to be totally the other way around. But anyway, let's go back to this thing. 1 Corinthians 13:10, and we're looking at this in a short fashion, short and simple, that this is how I would tell it to somebody else if I were ever to get that opportunity again. And they're out there. These King James guys really aren't as King James as they say they are. I'm not even sure all of those in our own personal web family, scatteredchristians.org. I'm not sure if everybody in our list of people even believe this. But here we go. Let's make this quick. And there's no need for notes for this one, because the notes are 1 Corinthians 13:10, a couple of verses before that, a couple of verses after that, and a chapter before it, and a chapter afterwards. It's not a complicated thing. In fact, if somebody doesn't believe that this is referring to the King James Bible, then I would say to them, well, then you must be Pentecostal. Well, no, I'm not Pentecostal. I can prove the scriptures that the Pentecostal church. No, you can prove the scriptures anything you want. You wrongly divide, you can prove losing your salvation. You can prove God is mad at you. You can prove God is, you know, punishing you. You can prove anything you want, any doctrine you want. You can prove it if you just wrongly divide that entire book. There's no contradictions in the King James Bible with doctrine. They're just wrongly divided. That's all. Simple as that. Okay, so let's look at this thing. And if anybody wants to talk about this with you, here's my suggestion, anyway, of what to point out in these verses. And it won't do you any good I've learned that to just tell him what you think. You know, well, this is what I believe. No, let's see what the scriptures say. Let's just look at this, friend. Let me look at this. Let me show you something here. So let's look at the verse exactly which here. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, something's coming. It's in Paul's day. Paul's talking here. In Paul's day, he says, listen, when something that is perfect, which is perfect, when it comes, then that which is in part, it's done. It's gone. It's kaput. Done away. It's that simple. Okay, now, in part. Here we go. Let's go back to verse 8. Let me show this person in verse 8. Well, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Okay, so there's the description of what's in part. That's the description in verse 10, is it not? The obvious statement is that which is in part shall be done away. So what's going to be done away when whatever this thing that is perfect has come? What's going to be done away? Well, verse 8, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. That stuff will vanish away. That's the simplest explanation. So then I would say, well, if you think that that's referring to Jesus, then that which is in part is not done away with. Because this is Paul. This is Corinthians. This is after the crucifixion, after his resurrection. So basically, we're waiting on the return of Christ, according to this verse. If you think this is referring to Jesus, then we're still waiting for him to come. So then, tongues, prophecies, and this knowledge it's referring to here, still there. So, we'll talk about the knowledge thing. We'll talk about the prophecies thing. But the tongues, come on. These people that are King James, they don't believe that tongue speaking is of God today. And we know we won't get into that, but we know that's not of God. I bet you your friend there, Bob, doesn't believe in the tongues. So, how can this be? I mean, if we're still waiting for Jesus, that which is perfect is come. When that happens, when he comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, I'll say it again. That stuff is still here. Well, we know that not to be true. Or, unless you're of the modern Christian, here we go. The prophecies, the tongues, the knowledge. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, let's go back to chapter 12 just for a second here. Chapter 12, dealing with spiritual gifts. Now, we look at these spiritual gifts, we know without a shadow of a doubt that cannot be referring to spiritual gifts that we've received today, because Paul tells the Gentiles the gifts that he's got for the Gentiles is in Romans chapter 12, not in this one. And what in the world, how many years have people wondered, why is Paul talking about spiritual gifts? Why in chapter 14 is Paul talking about speaking in tongues and the rest of his books tell us that those things are gone? They're not there. And this knowledge thing, how can there be knowledge vanish away? Are we going to go brainless or something? Well, a lot of that has happened, but that's not what we're talking about here. We know that during Paul's time, in fact, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, great set of verses that makes all the, you know, born-again Christians, I've been there and done this and thought this, makes you think that you are Joel or Jane spiritual. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And it goes on and it talks about how spiritual you are. Rightly dividing is the solution to this question. During Paul's day, that was true. They did not have a book. Now, they had scriptures, but they were Old Testament scriptures. So if God wanted to teach these people anything, and you get this from rightly, to me, I say people even have to rightly divide Corinthians. Before King James Bible, after King James Bible. The stuff in here that we're talking about now, this knowledge that God imparts upon these people, he only did it in part. But they got their knowledge from God. They got their knowledge from God to Paul. That's where it came from. And Paul talks all different places how God put on their heart or God said this to them, and that's what took place. In fact, one of the supposedly greatest teachers, evangelists on King James Bible and where it came from, was on television one time, and he was asked, well, where was the Bible before the King James Bible came about? And he said, it was in little pieces around the world. And I thought, it just clicked that that is a tremendously dumb answer. Where was the Word of God before the King James Bible? God gave it to the people, in part, through ministers, through prophets, through preachers, through people that God gave the knowledge to, the prophecies that God gave to these people to preach to people. And yes, they had to be pretty good, clean people. I mean, this is the Spirit of God upon these Spirit of God in these people that are telling them these things. Prophesies came from God. Knowledge came from God. So if you tend to believe that this whole thing is waiting for Jesus to come, then you must believe that God is going to tell you things to preach. God is going to tell you things to know without you reading your Bible. Then your King James Bible is just the best of the rest of the Bibles. It's the better one. No, it's the only one. It is the Word of God that contains the words of God. Okay, so this is what happens then. And then Paul is saying, listen, when that which is perfect, and we know perfect is referring to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16. Let's go there, 2 Chronicles 8:16. 2 Chronicles 8:16 shows us the definition of perfect. And we all say it. 2 Chronicles 8:16. Now let's look up here and then see. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. Perfect. It was finished. Okay? So that verse, I'm not adding words, I'm just defining it, but that when that which is finished, completed, done, perfect, perfected, then that which is in part shall vanish away. If I don't say vanish away, shall be done away. Okay, so when they say their Bible is perfect, they're meaning, I know they're meaning this because I've been there, they're meaning there's no mistakes. No, perfect means it's done. It's finished. There's nothing coming afterwards. There were additions because of printing mistakes. There were additions because of typography, all that kind of stuff, but it's still a 1611 Bible. They say this isn't a 1611 Bible because it was 17 something edition. No, this thing was actually printed in the 1900s. You know, I mean, actually, but it's still a 1611 Bible, which had to make some corrections because man did mess up with it. But God saw to it that they got fixed. It's a 1611 Bible. That is perfect. It's done. It's completed. And here you got to ask these people. Okay, if it's not that, can there be another Bible? If it's not that, if we're still waiting for Jesus, that which is perfect, then speaking in tongues, and this knowledge from God, and these prophecies, and God told me to preach this to you tonight. No, he didn't. This is what you wanted to preach. This is what you came up with. And a pastor should be able to come up with sermons and teachings because he is studying the Bible. And yes, the Spirit of God will show you things as you read your Bible. The average Joe Blow, Joe Jane Blow out there, they can just read their Bible. God will show you stuff. But how will he do it? Through a Bible. That knowledge, which is in part, it's all here. We have it in part based on how much we read. We can come up with our own sermon based on even Bible teaching if you study the thing hard enough. But is it what God wants you to... Well, it's in the book. You'll be led by your book. That's what was done in part. Now, it's that simple. It's just that simple. Now, let's put a little frosting on top of that thing here. Okay, so chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 is about charity, with a little tongues thrown in. And chapter 14 is about tongues. Again, why is Paul talking about this stuff? because he did not have a King James Bible yet. That which is perfect had not come yet. Which is why he says what he says verse 12. Chapter 13, verse 12. Now, the guys have to read the rest of these verses here. He says, for now. Then he says, but then. He says, now I know, but then shall I know. And now, that is totally a time warp thing he's talking about here. You know, but now, and then, now, and then. So when that which is perfect comes, then, see? Okay, here we go. For now, this is Paul's time. This is not my time. This is Paul's time. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then, when that thing comes, face to face. Ah, see, there's where they say that's where Jesus is. You're going to meet Jesus face to face. Okay, you think that's what it means? You've never heard anybody preach the fact that when you read your Bible, you are face to face with God. You are face to face with the Lord. He's talking to you. That's face. Why can't that be face to face? Because if it's the other face to face, then I got to go back and say, well, then you must still believe that prophecies and tongues and knowledge will all come from God. And so you're a Pentecostal modern Christian preacher who thinks God's going to tell you what to say without your Bible. I refer to it once in a while, but God, then this is how people look to their pastors, as God has, that's Catholic. Most Baptist pastors are just the people's priests, because God will show him something that he's not showing me. No, God's not showing you, because maybe where he says in Timothy, no, this isn't going to be as short as I wanted it to. I'm just not a short sermon maker guy, you know. He says in Timothy, come on, get up Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Maybe God's not giving you stuff in your Bible because you're not going to tell anybody else. He'll let you learn a few things, you know. We learn in part by based on how much we read and study our Bible. Does that make you more spiritual than other people, like it says in Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. Yeah, in a way it does, because you're getting your spirituality from your Bible. Not because you are more spiritual. You just know more about your Bible. Which makes you spiritual in your thinking and your wisdom, and that's okay. But you're not some holy roller guy that's waiting for Jesus to come back, and until he comes back, he's going to give you all this pizzazz. That's Pentecostal stuff. And if you think that God can't give you something in your Bible reading, then you're looking to your pastor as your priest, which is why you let him study, let him do all the work, and you just sit there and listen and go, ha, ah, that's good. Ah. No, you can open your Bible. See what's going on here. Okay, so go back, verse 12. For now, we see through a glass darkly. That's during Paul's time. But then, face to face. Now, I know in part. That was Paul's day. Paul didn't know everything. These people didn't know. They knew what God gave them. But then, meaning now, today, shall I know even as also I am known. But then shall I know even as also I am known. How much do we know about Paul today? We know everything about Paul. We know everything that there is to know about Paul. We have it right here in this book. I just, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that Paul knew that there was something that was coming, and it was perfect, it's completed, it's done, and it's going to put everything back on its shelf, and God's going to deal with people through that thing. And it isn't Jesus, it's a book, it's a King James Bible. Whether he knew it was going to be a King James Bible type of a book, written by, you know, paid for by King John, all that kind of stuff, I don't know. But he knew something that was perfect. When it's completed, it's going to come. It's going to shut everything back. It's going to go from there. That's King James Bible. Why do you think Satan hates this Bible so much? Is it just because it's the better one? There's something about this book that he has hated when he heard it was coming out. He did everything he could to stop it from being printed, from being shipped, from being put together. I mean, torture and pain. did he inflict upon people, mothers and children and fathers in front of their families. He did everything as cruel as possibly he could possibly do to keep this book from being printed. What's the big deal? Did he do that with an NIV, ASV, RSV, da-da-da-da? No, he's happy about that. And in fact, King James Bible case that are wrongly dividing, do they threaten him? They don't threaten him at all. King James guy who believes that this, that which is completed is perfect, it's here, and all that other stuff is put back in the historical shelves, and God will speak to me face to face in this book. If I open it up and read it, and follow how I follow, watch how I follow Paul, follow the risen Savior, when I'm further on quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, all the things that we talk about as we grow in our Christianity, our personal Christianity, the more we grow closer to Christ, the more he shows us more stuff. Now, how can you say that? Well, look at verse 11. Paul is talking about this thing, that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. That's religion. That's childish. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This King James Bible will make a man out of a man. It'll make a woman out of a woman. It'll be the kind of woman that pleases God. Be kind of man that pleases man, pleases God. And it's like we grow up with the risen Savior now. Do you look back in your years and realize when you got into a King James Bible, it was interesting. And when you found out that it was the Word of God, nothing, all the other ones weren't, you really started to take authoritative stock in your Bible. And then when you found out about rightly dividing, click. Did everything just click and come together? How many years did you struggle? How many years did you believe the preacher guys and just followed them along and followed religion and like everybody going to debt, lose your family over it, or try to be religious and kids don't think that they don't see it's true. All that kind of junk, you know, if that is, that's childish. And we put away those childish things. We put away that stuff because we have a King James Bible rightly divided. Okay, let's keep going here. Verse 13, and now, this is Paul's time again, abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. But see, now remember, that is Paul saying, now, this is during Paul's time, the greatest thing is charity. What's the greatest thing today? The Word of God. The Word of God outranks charity. Well, how can you say that? Because you have to study, you know, do a sermon stuff on charity. Charity is geared towards the brethren. It's not geared towards the world that's out there. And then in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow after charity. Well, sure, follow after charity. You know, it says there, charity will not fail, never faileth, in verse 8. But he says, and desire spiritual gifts. That's fine. Spiritual gifts we get from the risen Savior now are in Romans chapter 12. But what he's talking about, you sure desire those things in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But to us, he shows us in Romans 12. I think it's 12. It just dawned on me the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are the gifts for the Gentiles today. I think that's true. Anyway, so he says here, but above charity and above those spiritual gifts that they have in those days, and we still have charity today because charity never faileth, we have that you may prophesy. That's the Word of God. It's not talking about the futuristic Jack Van Wimpy stuff about when the horses are coming. That's prophetic stuff, but we're talking about here in prophecy is teaching the Bible, the Word of God, preaching, teaching, reading, learning. Then he goes on, he kind of bashes unknown tongue. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, blah, 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 you know. And then he tells you how, if you're going to do it, here's how we're going to do it, folks. But we don't do that today. Why not? Because the doctrine proves against it, because it's a sign, all those verses we know. The simplest answer is, it went out the window when the King James Bible showed up. Okay, I don't know what else to say. If it's not a King James Bible, then it's Jesus that we're waiting on. And if you're waiting on Jesus to come for that which is perfect, then you should be able to speak in tongues. God will show you stuff, and the knowledge will come from God. You don't need your Bible. You throw your Bible away. You don't need it. You don't need your NIV, you don't need your ASV, and you don't need your King James Bible, because God will show you. And we know better than that. That has to be the King James Bible. Nothing else. There's nothing else that would fit that King James Bible. And that thing came, tongues went out the window, God showing you prophesying, preaching, teaching, and knowledge from God. Kaputzed. And today, charity is important, but it is not the most important thing. The Word of God is our final authority, not charity. And tell that to your friends. Amen? And I'll sign off. I think this is one of the shortest sermons I've ever done. No, it still says 25 minutes. I just can't go short, can I? Anyway, here we are, new place. There'll be videos popping out once in a while. And just keep rolling.